Okay, we're going to begin here at the top of Nun Chet Amud Aleph by the two dots. Gemara is continuing to discuss what we began yesterday, which is, what are the dates for the granot of Meiser Behema? When it came to Meiser Behema, the Mishnah enumerates three granot. The different Tanaim had different dates as to when those three granot were. And the last thing we discussed was, what does it mean in the Mishnah, Pras HaPesach or Prus HaPesach? We know the word Pras or Prus means a half. Half of what? So over here, the Gemara concluded that it was half of Sholim V'Dorshim V'Chot HaPesach Kodem Pesach Lamed Yom. It's half the amount of the time period that is used to teach the Chot HaPesach Lifnei HaPesach, which is 30 days, a half of which would be 15 days. What's interesting is the Rashi in the Ketav Yad says about that, because it's Shayach L'Chot HaPesach, meaning that the granot here are generating animals for the Regel, and therefore it's relevant to the Lachot of the 30 days before Pesach. And that's why they use that as the demarcation, Pras HaPesach, half of that time period, because it's a part of those halachot. You could have learned, which is also likely, is that it was just a siman. It's not that it's an integral part of the halachot of the 30 days long before Pesach, but rather, that is a time period that's already enumerated. And so the Chachamim just use that as a reference point to decide, say, half of that, which is normally done during that period, which is the 30 days of halachot, those 15 days are what we're speaking about over here. So that's what we left off with. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the positions of the Tanaim in the Mishnah. Ben Azai Omer, the Chavtet Ba'adar, Ba'alef B'Sivan. Ben Azai says that the first Goren is on the 29th of Adar, the second one on the 1st of Sivan. Gomag Miflegei, Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai, he argues Ben Azai on Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai is the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva. It's based on the Gemara in Ketubot Samech Gimel. It also happens to be a Gemara in Yevamot Samech Gimel. And in Yevamot Samech Gimel, it says that Ben Azai was Doresh. And then the Chachamim said to him, and there is, Na'e Doresh v'Na'e Oseh, that sometimes when you give a drasha, it's wonderful because the person does what they say, but you didn't do what you say. Over there, he's talking about Piriya v'Ribya. And there, it seems that the Gemara indicates that Ben Azai never got married. Ben Azai responds to him and says, Ma yaseh shelibi chashka b'Torah, that I fell in love with the Torah, and therefore he never got married. But the Gemara, Tubot, Samech Gimel, Samech Gimel, both Masechtot, Rabbi Kiva's daughter did for Ben Azai what Rachel, Rabbi Kiva's wife, did for him. Meaning she allowed him to go out and learn, just like Rachel allowed Rabbi Akiva to go out and learn. So Tosafot, in those locations, discusses the possibility that Ben Azai either was Nitares, that he got engaged but never married her, or married and then divorced, whatever it is, but there is a relationship between Rabbi Kiva and Ben Azai, aside from the other relationship they have, which was that they were Arba Shenichnesu the Pardes. Rabbi Kiva and Ben Azai were amongst those four that were Nichnesu the Pardes. So over here, Ben Azai Miflegei Rabbi Kiva u Ben Azai. What was the machloket in the Mishnah between them? Rabbi Kiva savar Adar Samuch Nisan Zimind Malei Zimnin Chaser. The Adar that always precedes Nisan, it can sometimes be a 30-day month, sometimes it could be a 29-day month. So Zimna de Mikla b'Yom Lamed, because of that, the 15 days before Pesach, sometimes it will fall out on the 30th of Adar. Zimna de Mikla b'Chavtet, and sometimes that will be the 29th of Adar, depending on whether it's a Malay or Chaser, that will determine whether it's the 29th or the 30th of Adar that the 15 days before Pesach falls out. Because of that, there's no fixed date that you can assign for the start of this Goren. Therefore, he enumerated it as 15 days before Pesach. Those 15 days can either fall out on the 29th or the 30th. Ben Azai Savar believes Adar Samuch Nisan Leolam Chaser. Ben Azai believes that the Adar that precedes Nisan is always Chaser. That's the way we have it today. That the Adar that is before Nisan is always Chaser. That's why there's always only one day of Rosh Chodesh by Nisan. Hilchach Kabilei Zman. Therefore, 15 days before Pesach will always be on the same date, and that is Chavtet Adar. And that's why he gave the date of Chavtet Adar, because according to Ben Azai, all 15 days will always equal Chavtet Adar. According to Rabbi Akiva, where there's a possibility it could equal 30, therefore he did not enumerate it as a Goren based on the date, but rather as the time period prior to Pesach. Bechad b'Sivan, he says Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Why does he argue on Rabbi Akiva over there? Rabbi Akiva says 15 days before Pesach, 15 days before Shavuot. Why does Ben Azai understand why by Pesach he disagreed with him? He agrees to the 15-day period, he just has a fixed date for it, but he still agrees to the basic principle of the 15 days. How come by Shavuot he doesn't grant the same 15 days that Rabbi Akiva does? The answer is because, Aydi delo nafishe, since there are not a lot of days between the first Goren and the second Goren, if you say to bring the Goren up 15 days before Shavuot, by the time the regel comes around, there won't be any animals left. Because the period from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, basically, until 15 days before Shavuot is a very, very short period. So what we want to do is extend that period as long as possible to capture the greatest amount of animals. The secondary impact of that is, the later that you make the Gorin, the more likelihood there is that there will be animals available at the time of the Regel. If you both move up the time period, you'll have two impacts. One is you have fewer animals in the corral for that Gorin. Number two is there's a higher likelihood that those animals will be used up or purchased before the Regel. So he tried to delay as long as possible, as close to the Regel as possible, to allow for the maximum amount of time during that Gorin, from the previous Gorin to this Gorin, plus to get it as close as possible within a reasonable amount to Shavuot, so that the animals would be available for the Regel. Now, B'chavtei B'av, his third time period, his third Gorin, is on the 29th of Av. Ben Azai the Tamei, Ben Azai is the Shitoto, Damar Elulim, Mitasrim Mipnei Atzman. That Elul is its own time period, B'lesrinu B'yom Lamet. So then why don't you do it on the 30th of Av? Why did he pick the 29th of Av? Why didn't he say the 30th of Av? Zimnin D'mechasrin Leila Av. Sometimes Av is a Chaser, but B'in on the Meibad, Hekera B'chadash V'yashan. And we need to have a clear demarcation between the old and the new. So we always have Av as a Malay. For us, Av is always a 30-day month. We always have Rosh Chodesh Elul be 2 days. But Rabbi Azai suggests that there's a possibility that it is Chaser or Malay. It could be 29 or 30 days. When it gets to Rosh Chodesh Elul, that's already into a new cycle, because we'll see in a second, Ben Azai has a safek as to when Rosh Hashanah the Maser Behema is, and he wanted to make a clear and defined demarcation, which is, it has to be an Av. Because if I already say it's an Elul, then you're going to start to confuse which animals belong together. Even though an animal born on Rosh Chodesh Elul would not enter into the Gorin on Rosh Chodesh Elul, it's too young, it's still Mechuser Zman. Nevertheless, the fact is that if you do it into Elul already, people will be confused and think that Elul is part of the previous year. So in order to make a clear and defined threshold over which the Chadash starts and the Yashan has been completed, he said it's got to be at the end of Av. Now the end of Av can sometimes be the 29th, and sometimes can be the 30th day of Av. So in order to be sure that every year he had a date that was in Av, he used the 29th. If he used the 30th of Av, then some years it would be the 30th, some days it would be years it would be the Rosh Chodesh Elul. So in order to avoid that problem, he just made it as 29th of Av, and that way it's always a date that exists and is at towards the end of Av. Now truthfully, he could have just said the last day of Av, and that would have made it work, because then it would have been the 29th or 30th. But from our Mishnah, you see the way that they've laid them out was that they gave fixed dates. Ben Azai gave fixed dates, and therefore he says that it was Chavtet Adar, and he said Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and then he does Chavtet Ba'av. V'lazer Rabbi Shimon omrim be'achad b'Nisan, be'achad b'Sivan. V'lazer Rabbi Shimon say that it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Be'achad b'Nisan, why do they say Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Ki Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. They hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Damar Bet Shabbatot, that he holds that the time period before the Chag that you start to teach the Hilchot Chag is not the 30 days, but rather 2 weeks. That 2 week period falls out on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So they correlated it with that period. Again, with the Rashi and the Ktav Yad, that would be because they're relevant to the Hilchot HaPesach, therefore they use that time period. On the other hand, it could be just that it's a demarcating line, that that's the normal time that they start to deal with Hilchot HaPesach, so that'll also be the Gorin. So that starts on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Bechad b'Sivan, why Rosh Chodesh Sivan? Kedamran. Same reason that Ben Azai did it on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, to maximize the number of animals that will be available for the Regel. Bechavtet be'Elul, the 29th of Elul, because Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Latamayu, because they believe that Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Tishrei, is Rosh Hashanah Maser Behema. So therefore, the last day of Elul will be the last day of the year, the previous year, in which animals can be included for that Maser Behema. So they use Chavtet Elul as the cutoff point, because that is the last day of the previous year for Maser Behema. So V'lam Amru B'Chavtet Be'Elul, V'lo Amru B'Echad B'Tishrei. So our Mishnah asks, how come they use the 29th of Elul and not Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, or the first of Tishrei, or Rosh Hashanah? Because their other two dates are Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and to be consistent, it would have been Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Instead, they moved it back to Chavtet Elul. So the Mishnah gives us an answer, Mipnei Shu Yom Tov, because you can't do Maser Behema on Yom Tov. But typically, to be in the Me'avad Hekeira, B'chadash V'yashan. Why don't they give the same answer that we gave for Ben Azai, which is that we want a clear demarcation between the old and the new? If you made the Gorin on Rosh Hashanah itself, then there would be some confusion as to when the actual end of the year is. This way, if you put in a Elul, that's a clear, defined, demarcated line, that's the end of the year. And that's why they put it in a Elul. That's a good reason. Why do they have to come with this reason by Yom Tov? So Gemara says, Eno chanami, chada v'od kamar. That reason would be good, and they give an additional reason. Chada debina the me'avad hekeira bechadash v'yashan. Eno chanami. One of the reasons they put on a chavte elul was to create that clear line, demarcation between the chadash and the yashan. V'od. And an additional reason is mipneshu yom tov. Because it will turn out then that the last goren would be Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah, and be yom tov. V'yavshar laser be yom tov. And you can't take off ma'aser b'hem on yom tov. That's what the Mishnah says. Now the Gemara gives the reason. Mishom Sikrato, because of the red paint, which is that when they did the Maaser Behemah, we're going to see this on the second half of today's daf, the animals would walk out of the corral through a narrow doorway, and when it got to the 10th one, he used to mark it with a red stripe, he used to paint it with a red stripe, so that it wouldn't get mixed up. We'd know which one was the Maaser Behemah. So that, obviously, Tzoveya is not allowed to be done in Yom Tov, and that's the problem, because that's part of the process of doing Maaser Behemah, would be a malacha involved. Now, Tosafot raises one question, and we can raise another. Is that really the reason that we don't take off Masrot on Yom Tov? Tosafot says the problem should be that ain't Makdishim be Yom Tov. You're not going to be Makdish animals on Yom Tov. And over here, you're being Makdish the Maaser Behemah. The other question you could ask is from Trumot and Masrot. We know that you're not allowed to be Mafrish Trumot and Masrot on Shabbat be Yom Tov because it's a problem of Mechzik Metakin Kli. Mechzik Metakin, it looks like you're fixing something. What was once before inedible or unusable, now you've made it into something that is functional on Shabbat Yom Tov, so that looks like you're being metaken kli. So how come the Gemara doesn't bring either of these reasons down? So Tosafot goes through a bunch of steps, but in the end he basically says that when it comes to Maaser Behemah, you're really not makdish the animal. It happens by itself. The 10th animal that exits the corral is automatically Maaser Behemah. You don't have to actively be makdish it. It's nikdash mi'atzmo. It happens by itself. So therefore that would not be under the restriction of ein makdishim b'yom tov. So that gets rid of that reason, and that's why the Gemara didn't, or the Mishnah didn't bring that reason up. What about the reason of Metakein? I would suggest that there's a big difference between Trumot HaMasrot and Maaser Behemah. By Trumot HaMasrot, the grains or the produce is tevel, inedible, unusable beforehand. After you're mafrish, the Trumot HaMasrot now becomes edible and usable. If that's the case, you've now changed an object from something that had no utility to something that has utility on Shabbat V'Yom Tov. That is Mechzeik Metakin. Over here, as we mentioned before, Maaser Behemah is Rishut. It's not, there's no Tevel by Maaser Behemah. If you're not Mafrish Maaser Behemah like we do today, we're not Mafrish Maaser Behemah at all, there's no restriction on eating the animal. The animal was usable, had utility before, and it has utility afterwards. Maaser Behemah is not something that's Metakin and changes the status of the animal. It was Mutar before, it's Mutar now. So Maaser Behemah does not have the same impact that Trumot HaMasrot too. And that's because of the Iser Tevel that's associated with Trumot HaMasrot. There it's Metakin. Over here, there is no Iser Tevel associated with the Maaser Behemah. Therefore, there's no issue of Metakin. And that's why the Gemara, or the Mishnah, spoke about the problem of Yom Tov with the painting or the staining of the animal in order to know that it is Maaser Behemah. That's the problem of Yom Tov and not these two other issues that are raised in other places. Rav Meir Omer Bechad Be'elul, Rosh Hashanah LaMaaser Behemah, Ben Azai Omer. So we said Rav Meir holds that Rosh Hashanah for Maaser Behemah is the first of Elul. Rav Elazar and Rabbi Shimon believe that it's the first of Tishrei, Machloket. Ben Azai says, I don't know which one to go like. I have a Safek. And because of that Safek, I need to create a twilight month. And that's what he says here, the Gemara. Tanya. Amar ben Azai, ho v'halalu omrim kach. V'halalu omrim kach. They say this. Rabbi Meir says it's Rosh Chodesh Elul. Is the Rosh Hashanah LaMaaser Behemah. Elu omrim kach. They, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon say the Rosh Hashanah LaMaaser Behemah is Rosh Hashanah itself. So what am I going to do? Ha'elulim itasim that's man. So I'm going to put Elul by itself and say that I have a safek. Everything until Av will be considered part of the year. From the beginning of Tishrei till Av will be considered 1 year. From Rosh Chodesh Elul to Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, that is the safek. So those will be themselves. And then again, we'll start the cycle over from Rosh Hashanah again. So Mazara says, V'lechsei tamei d'man mistaver. Why doesn't he give a chra? Why doesn't he decide? He knows their reason. He knows the other's reason. He knows Rabbi Meir. He knows Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Listen to their tamim and make a decision. What's his business of making into a safek? V'chitei malo matzi kaya tamayu. Maybe it's possible he just couldn't get to the depth of their reasoning. He couldn't understand the machloket between them, and therefore he couldn't be discerning over here. Batanya, we have a braita, ben azai omer, kol chachmei Yisrael domim alai klipat hashum. All of the chachmei Yisrael to me are like a peel of garlic. Chutz min hakareach hazeh, except for that baldy. Now who the baldy refers to, Rashi claims here in another place, says that the term kareach is used to reference Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was bald, and he called him kareach. And based on that he says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Yeshua ben Karcha is the son of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, the son of Rabbi Akiva. Tosafot here, as well in other places, does not like that explanation and rejects the explanation because Kereach is not a term of endearment. It's not a nice way to address someone. And therefore, he thought it was inappropriate that Kereach was used to address Rabbi Akiva, especially from Ben Azai, who was his son-in-law, his Talmud Chover. Didn't make so much sense that he would use such a term to address Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, Tosavot offers two alternatives. One alternative is that it references Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that Kereach, he was bald, and it references Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That would make some sense based on the Mishnah and Avot, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shehaya Moneh Shivchan, when he's talking about his Talmidim over there, he says the first member in the Mishnah is that Rabbi Elazar ben Chukranus was on one side, he would be Machriya all the other Chachamim. And the second in the Yesh Omrim is that if Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was on one side, and Rabbi Elazar ben Hukranus, and all the other Chachamim on the other side, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would be Machriya them, which would indicate that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was very sharp. And that's why Ben Azai says, everybody else I can take on, except for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Again, that would make sense. The Rabbeinu Tam in the end says that it's just Shem Adam. It's the name of some person, that it's not necessarily associated with one of the Chachamim, whether it's Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So you have three opinions as to what this Kereach is. Ben Azai clearly had the capacity to be discerning over here. If he had that capacity, why didn't he make a decision? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipi Hashmua Amrua, Mipi Chagai Zachariah Umalachi. The reason he didn't is because it came as a Mesorah from Chagai Zachariah Umalachi. So Rashi in the Ketav Yad claims that that means that it's a Hilchato Belo Taimo. It's like Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. We don't look at the reasons. It's a Mesorah. And when it's a Mesorah, you don't question the Mesorah. Like Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, we don't look at the underlying reasons over there. The Halacha is the Halacha. So that's how he looks at Chagai Zachariah Malachi. Tosafot takes issue with that and says, then why did they pick Chagai Zachariah Malachi? Chagai Zachariah Malachi are just Nevi'im. And a Navi is not allowed to be a Chadesh Davar. That means that they clearly got it through a Mesorah. Why don't they say Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? Why are they saying Halacha from Chagai Zachariah Malachi? Now, he does bring a proof to Rashi's understanding over here from another place in Shas. In the end, he basically comes around with a little modified version of what Rashi says. Since these are drashot that came through a Mesorah of Chagai Zachariah Malachi, therefore, he didn't feel comfortable discerning which one was the Ikar. Since they were claiming to be Mesorah from the Navi, he didn't feel that he was in a position to make a decision about this because of that fact. It's obvious that Chagai Zachariah Malachi are the end of the Nevi'im. And since they're towards the end of the Nevi'im, when we talk about Chagai Zachariah Malachi, we're talking about the Mesorah that came from still in the hands of the Nevi'im, or what we call the authentic Mesorah. That's clear over here that Ben Azai was willing to argue with other Chachamim, but when it came to something that he felt came from a much better source, a strong source of the Nevi'im, there he felt a little more uncomfortable about being discerning, and therefore he left it as a Safek. Alright, Tanya, we have a Braita. Bezo Tzad. Now Bezo Tzad is the equivalent of saying Ketzad. How? How does this work? That Amar Ben Azai Elulim Itasrim Latzman. That the Elul is left by itself. Nodulo hei ba'av, if he has five animals that are born in the month of Av. Vehei ba'elul and five born in Elul, ein mitztarfim, they don't get brought together. Hei ba'elul, if five born are Elul, vehei b'tishrei and five born in Tishrei, ein mitztarfim, they don't go together. Hei b'tishrei, if five are born in Tishrei, vehei ba'av afterwards, mitztarfim, because they're in a single year. From Tishrei to Av is we classified as 1 year. The problem is only in Elul itself, because we're not sure whether Elul belongs to the beginning of the new year, or the end of the previous year. The Gemara says pshita. Of course, what you just said is true. That's exactly what he meant. I would think that just like the Rosh Hashanah, the Maaser Behemah, cuts off between the Chadash and Yasuan, so too the Granot would cut off. It's teaching us, this bread is teaching us, look, we saw in our Mishnah, that Chamisha Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, Chamisha Achar Rosh Hashanah in Mitztarfim. When it's five before Rosh Hashanah, the Maaser Behemah, and afterwards, they're not Mitztarif. If you have five before the Gorin and after the Gorin, they are allowed to be Mitztarif. The Gorin is not a definitive demarcation cutoff line like Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah is the end of the year period, and therefore you can't mix and match animals from 1 year to the next. But before the Gorin and after the Gorin, those are only designations midrabanan. And since there are designations midrabanan, you can be Mitztarif animals before and after the Gorin. Then Amarava, the Dibrei Ben Azai. It will turn out, according to Ben Azai, Nodulo Chamisha Ba'av, if he has five born in Av, V'chamisha Be'elul, and then another five were born in Elul, V'chamisha Be'tishrei, and then five born in Tishrei, Kuntzan Nadir Li'itaser. He brings them into the corral, and he takes off Ma'aser. Because over here, it's going to work out Mimonovshach. Because in this grouping, five in Elul either belong to the next year, and they'll be Shayach to the ones in Tishrei, Or elul belongs to the previous year, and it'll be connected to the five from up. Notel echad min elulim. And when he takes off the Maiser Beima, he has to take one of those 10, he should take off of the Elulim. Vashar Pturim. And the remainder remain Patur. Mimono Shach, it's gonna work. Ibe Echad Be'elul, Hashishan Olev Maiser Beima, if the first of Elul is Rashan Beima, then De'elul v'Tishrei Mitzdarfim. The five from Elul and the five from Tishrei will be put together, and they'll be the 10 that qualify for Maiser Beima. Uda'ab Pturim, and the ones from Avra Patur, because you only have five of them. Vive Echad B'Tishrei, if Rosh Hashanah is on the first of Tishrei, or Rosh Hashanah Maiser Beima, the Av Elul Mitzdarfim, then Av and Elul will be from the same year, and they'll be Mitzdarf to 10 to get you Maiser Beima. Tishrei Pturim, and those of Tishrei will be Patur. So you have 15 animals over here. 10 of them, Mimon of Shach, are going to create Maiser Beima. Either because all 10 of them are from the previous year, or because all 10 of them are from the new year. Because you have 5 from Tishrei, 5 from Av. One of those 5 will be Mitzdarev with Elul, whichever side Elul should be on. Because Elul is a Safek for Ben Azai. The other 5 will be Patur, because they're just 5 and not 10. So therefore, you'll be Manav Shach, you'll take it off. Now, you have to take the Maiser Beima off of the one from Elul, because that's the only one we know for sure is Chayav and Maiser Beima. We're not sure if it's the Av or the Tishrei that's Mitzdarev. But we know for certain the ones in Elul are Mitzdarev to one of those two groups. And therefore, the Maiser Beima has to be taken off. That 10th one has to come off of the 5 from Elul. Problem with that is, we've learned before that you're not allowed to direct the animals out. We're going to see it again in the Mishnah coming up. You have to let the animals go up out themselves. You can't direct them out. So how is he going to end up with getting the right one? So we're going to see in our Mishnah that b'di'evid there are options to do Maiser Behema by simply counting them when they're standing or when they're crouched over there. There are ways to designate Maiser Behema where the one that you will pick will be the one from Elul, and that's what he'll have to do in this case. And the Gemara says, Ma'amart, what do you want to do with those 5 from Tishrei? You have the 15 together now. You took off Maiser Behema. The 5 from Tishrei could definitely qualify to match up with another 5 during the rest of the year. So why don't you, after you've done the first grouping here, take those 5 and then connect them with another 5. If they're Patur, then maybe you can go and put them together with another 5 and make Maiser Behema. So you want to start for the Goren Acher. That's not going to work, because there's a possibility that those 5 were already part of the 10. Depending which way Elul goes, it could be that it was Elul and Tishrei that were together, and those Tishrei 5 from Tishrei already did their Maiser Behema. On the other hand, it could be that Elul and Av go together, and those 5 from Tishrei are still available. But since it's a fake, we're not going to allow you to put those 5 together with an additional 5 the rest of the year, and that's why they remain patur. The Gemara says, Pshita, of course this works. Of course you have to do this with the 15 animals, and you have to take off the one from Elul. What's the Chiddush over here? All of that makes sense from the position of Ben Azai. It says, Ma'udetem ligzor dilma atel mishkal mihanach. Mashmalan, that we don't. Our fear is that when you put those 15 together in the corral to take off Maiser Behema, you must take it off from the one from Elul. Maybe we would make Gzera not to do this, because we fear that you would take it from the animals from Tishrei, or you take it out of the animals from Av. So that would be the fear that we have. That would be the possibility. Kamashmalan, that we don't worry about that. We don't make such a Gzera. And in this case, we have 5 in Av, 5 in Elul, and 5 in Tishrei, according to Ben Azai, you would put them together in the corral, and you would take off Maiser Behema, as long as you made sure that it came off from the one from Elul. Okay, now the next Mishnah. Again, it says Be'ezot Tzad, meaning Ketzad. How is Maiser Behema done? Ketzad Masrin. How do you do Maiser Behema? Konsan Ledir, you bring them into the corral, Voselam Petach Katan. And then you make a small opening out of the corral. So two can't exit at the same time. That way you're sure that it's one at a time, single file that is exiting. Omanem. And then you count. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Chet, Tet. So you get a Tet, and the 10th one, but you'll say Asiri, so Kerbisikra. Then you slap it with the red paint. That's what we saw from the previous Mishnah, why you can't do it on Yom Tov. Vomer, and then he says, Arize Maser, that this is Maser. Lo Sakru B'Sikra, if he didn't paint it with that red stripe, or Velo Ma'anan B'Shevet, or he doesn't count them with a staff, as they go out with a staff, he's counting each one of them. O Shema'anan Rubutzim, or what happens if he didn't have them walk out? He just counted them while they were sitting. O Omdim, while they were standing. Ha'erlo Mi'usrin, that works. All of those are functions or work as Maser Behema, even though it's not the optimal way to do it. Nevertheless, they still function as Maser Behema. Hayalo me aben atal asara, if he has 100 animals and he just pulls out 10. Asara, if he has 10 animals and atal achad, he pulls out 1. That's how you do Maser Dagan. Ein ze Maser, that doesn't work. Because you need to enumerate the animals in order for it to be Maser Behema. You can't just have it that you take 10% out of your animals. Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer Maser. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says it works, and the Gemara will investigate why. Kofatz achad min emnuim letochan. After some of the animals had exited it, one of them jumps back into the corral. The remainder are all patur, because now you already have an animal that was already counted towards maaser. It cannot be counted again. Since you don't know which one that animal is, then all the animals are patur. You no longer can perform maaser behema with the animals that remain in the corral. Mina musarim, if one of those that was designated or chosen to be maaser behema jumps back into the corral, then the tochan kulan, iruai chistavu, the remaining animals in the corral have to wait till they get a mum in them. And then they should be eaten with their mum to the balim. That's what happens to Maiser Behema. Maiser Behema, that gets a mum, the balim keep them, and they eat them kechulin with certain restrictions of Maiser Behema. So here, because he didn't stripe the animal, it's not clear which one's the Maiser Behema, and now it jumped back into the corral, it causes us confusion. We have a safek of Maiser Behema over here. If we knew which one it was, we'd take it up to the Mikdash, put it on the Mizbeach. But since we don't know which one it is, you can't bring any of the other animals up, because there'd be machnis chulin the azara. So because of that, we say, wait till there's a mum falls into all these animals, and then we're certain that you can eat all these animals. And they'll be all be eaten with those restrictions of eating Maiser Behema with a mum. So now Gemara continues, B'tan Rabbanan, Bezut Tzad, Maser, Ket Tzad, how do you do Maiser Behema? Bonsan Ladir, Vosilem, Petach Hatan, you bring him into the corral, and then you open up a small door, so here it gives us the reason why. So two can't exit at the same time. You want them to go out single file. Imol tehem b'chutz. We put their mothers outside. V'heim b'bifnim. And the children, the young ones, are inside. V'goot. And then they are calling for their mothers. They are mooing. They are bleeding. They are calling for their mothers. V'yotzot dekriyat iman. And that incensed them to leave the corral and to walk out because they're trying to get back to their mothers. Where it says, v'lifkinu inu. Right? You have to do this whole complicated setup. Why don't you just walk them out of the corral? So that we've learned already before in the Gemara. It says, Yavur Ktiv. It says, Yavur Tachad Asheret, Veloshi Abiru. They have to exit on their own, and not that you should cause them to exit. Urshadi Luhu Yarko, Velifku Velete. So why don't you just put food outside? Why do you have to have their mothers on the outside to draw them out? Just throw food on the outside of the corral and they'll go out because there's food out there. You know, tie the carrot over the head and they'll walk out. Why do you need to have it that the mother's on the outside? So Ravuna, Gzeiro, Mishum, Lakuach, Mishum Yatom. That it's really a gzeira to help out with the issue of lakoach and yatom. And that is because we know that lakoach, a purchased animal, as well as yatom, one who is missing its mother died in childbirth or prior and then the baby was born, that's considered yatom, they are not allowed to be counted towards maser behema. They don't have mothers, because when you purchase the animal, you don't have its mother, and if it's a yatom, it doesn't have its mother. So that will remind us that you shouldn't put those into the corral because they don't have mothers. Now it's true that there are some yatomim that will be required to have maser behema and mufresh mehem. That's a yatom whose mother died later on. I mean, it could be that it doesn't have a mother now, but it had a mother for the first 7 days, which when it counts, yet it still will count towards Maiser Behema. So this isn't an exacting principle, which is that only if it has a mother will come out. It's just a siman. It's a way to remember or to remind us not to put into the corral animals that are purchased and animals that are yatomim because of this mother. The fact that you set it up with the mothers on the outside will remind you only to bring in animals that would potentially have their mothers there. And because of that, it will remind us of the halachot of what belongs inside the corral or not. So tell him alomar kol asher yavor tachat hashevet. So it says anything goes under the shevet. Prat l'treifa. That comes to exclude a treifa. Sheino overt, because it can't walk on its own. It certainly the treifot will cause it not to be able to walk. And from here we learn that a treifa is psula the gabei kodashim. We saw that earlier in the perek with regards to the fact that rest of kodashim learns this out from Maiser Behema that a treifa is no good by kodashim. Tachat hashevet goes under the staff. Mitzvah limnotan b'shevet. Right way to do this is to count them with a staff. That's what we saw in our mishnah that ve'im v'lo manan b'shevet. Even if you don't do it with the staff, oh shemanan revutzim, or you counted them not when they were walking out, but while they were sitting there, crouched down, or omdim, or they're standing, mina. How do you know that that works? Tamalomar hasiri kodesh mikomakom. The tenth one is kodesh no matter what. As long as you enumerate to the number 10, then it's kodesh. Whether they walked out in front of you and you counted them with the staff, whether you counted them while they were standing there or while they were crouching there, you get to the number 10. That works in order to be mekadesh meiser behema. Again, the optimal way to do it is with the corral, with the short, small doorway and going out and counting them with the staff. Now, what about the fact v'ein li ela shekorash shmo asiri? Only if you enumerated it to 10. How do I know that if you didn't call it 10, it still works? Our Mishnah says that even if you don't say this is the 10th one, it's still Kodesh automatically if it is the 10th one. No matter what, it's Kodesh. What about the case in the Mishnah where he has 100 and he just pulls out 10% of them, 10 of them? He has 10 and 10%, he pulls out 1. And you would think that that would work. It has to be the 10th. And this is not the 10th. There has to be some form of enumeration or counting that gets you to the 10th. You can't just take off 10% because then you just have 10 sitting in front of you, never enumerated 10. Over here, you have to get them somehow to be counted towards 10. Whether you actually call the 10th one 10 doesn't matter. As long as you've enumerated them to get to number 10 or they're passing through the doorway of the corral and the 10th one out is automatically Kodesh. Now in our Mishnah, we saw Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer Maser. It works. So Mara wants to know now, my time with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda? Savrele k'Abba Elazar ben Gomel. He holds like Abba Elazar ben Gomel, the Tanya. Abba Elazar ben Gomel omer, v'nechshav lachem tshumatchem k'dagan min hagoren, maser min hamaser. Here it's talking about Trumat Maser, and it says Trumat Maser will be considered for you like the Gamin HaGoren, like regular Truma Gidola. And it says over here Trumatchem, both in the plural, as well as it draws a hekesh between that and the Gamin HaGoren. So therefore, HaKatub Medaber speaks about Achat Trumat Gidola v'Achat Trumat Maser. There's a hekesh, there's a parallel here drawn between Trumat Maser and Trumat Gidola. Hashem she Trumat Gidola nitalet b'omed u'b'machshava. Just like Truma Gedola can be taken off by estimation or through Machshava, so too when it comes to Trumat Maser, Nitla Ba'omed Uba Machshava. It can be taken off by estimation and through Machshava. So first of all, the drasha is a very interesting drasha, because the pasuk is really written by Trumat Maser. And even though it's written by Trumat Maser, nevertheless we're saying that the givens are by Truma Gedola. And that's because it's more obvious that by Truma Gedola the din should be so. We learn this out from the word v'nechshav. The word nechshav teaches us that Machshava is sufficient, number one, and number two is that you can do it through estimation. Now by Truma Gedola that makes a lot of sense, because Truma Gedola has no shiur min haTorah. Chita achat, even one kernel is poteret et kol hakri. One little kernel is enough for Truma Gedola. So it makes a lot of sense that you can estimate, because you don't need an exact shiur when it comes to Truma Gedola. So that's in terms of Omed. In terms of Machshava, Rashi brings down two possibilities of what Machshava means over here. One possibility is that you don't have to actually speak and declare what is considered Truma and what is considered Maaser. You can just have in your mind and say, what's on the southern side is Truma Gedola, what's on the northern side is Maaser Sheni. You can do this all in your mind. You don't actually have to articulate what you're thinking. That's one possibility of what Machshava means. The other possibility, Rashi says, is that you can do it after the fact. You can do it l'mafreya. And he brings a Mishnah based on the fact that when you purchase wine from the Kutim, and it's on Shabbat, and you can't take off Trumot HaMasrot right then, you can say that the two lugim that ani atid lehafrish, the two lugim at the end of this cup, which I will take off in the future, they will be Truma when I get there. So that you're allowed to do what's called retroactively, you're allowed to do such a thing. Now, truthfully, that only works when you're dealing with Trumot HaMasrot midarabanan. Midoraita might be more difficult, and Tosafot even discusses the issue of why can't you do this on Shabbat and Yom Tov. If it's just a machshava, then even if you do it through a maaseh on Shabbat and Yom Tov, since you had the option or the possibility of doing it through machshava, it should be allowed on Shabbat and Yom Tov. The Tosafot says that this dispensation was only given by Chazal for specific cases where it was a difficult situation, there's some sort of safek in the Trumot HaMasrot. But when it comes to regular Trumot HaMasrot or Demaya, we don't give you that dispensation, even though you can do it through Machshava. And he also proves that there are certain times where Machshava is equivalent to Dibur. And therefore, over here too, even though you're only doing it through Machshava, will be classified as Dibur. So that's with regards to Machshava. So that's true by Truma Gedola. The Hekesh tells us not only to say this by Truma Gedola, but also to say it by Trumat Maaser. By Trumat Maaser, you can be mafrishit be l'sha'er, to do it through estimation, and you can also do it through machshava. The reason we allow you to do it through machshava is because we feel it'll be beneficial. If you estimate 1/10, a person will overestimate the amount to give a Trumat Maaser because he doesn't want to make a mistake. And therefore, you'll be more generous in your giving, and that's why we say do it through Omed and not do it by exact measurement. Then, beyond that, Dichtiv Ket Maaser. Then, beyond that, Maaser Kari Rachmana Truma. And when it comes to Maaser, there's an equation or equivalence drawn between Maaser and Truma. Because in some places, Maaser is called Truma. Dichtiv Ket Maaser B'nei Yisrael Asher Hirimu LaHashem Truma Nitati Levim LeNachala. Because the Maaser that is removed for the Levim, the Maaser Rishon, you'll give as a truma to the Levi'im. So you see, even though it's maaser, it's called truma. V'itkish maaser be'ima, l'maaser dagan. And we have a hekesh from the beginning of the parak between maaser be'ima and maaser dagan. Ma maaser dagan ital ba'omed u b'machshava. Just like maaser dagan, by grains and produce, you can take it off through estimation and through machshava. Av maaser be'ima. So too with the maaser be'ima, ital ba'omed u b'machshava. You can take it off through estimation and the machshava. So, first of all, where do we have that hekesh between the maasrot? Rashi, the Ktav Yad, brings down from the pasuk of Aser Taser. Tosafot says that's not what we said earlier in the parak. In the parak we said, Ve'aveitem et maasrotechem. That's where you learned it out, from the plural of maasrotechem. So the Rashi above brings that as the pasuk of maasrotechem. What's interesting here, for the last couple of daf, we have a Rashi Ktav Yad. The Shitu Mekubetz says he found this in the Sfarim Eshanim, that there was this Rashi Ktav Yad. And it seems to be a more authentic Rashi, Because anytime Tosafot quotes Rashi, that memra or that day we find in Rashi in the Ktav Yad. Many times the Rashi above is already amended for the criticism of Tosafot, like in this case. In this case, Rashi says Aser Taser in the Ktav Yad, yet Tosafot says that's not right. It should be Veitem Masrotechem. The Rashi above already incorporates that criticism of Tosafot and brings the Pasuk as Veitem et Masrotechem. So it's more likely that the Rashi Ktav Yad is the actual Rashi, and what we find above is a later something from the Balei Tosfot, or something that reflects the Deot of the Balei Tosfot, an amended type of Rashi that is found above. Now, there are some very large Tosfot over here that discuss some of the issues, some of the major issues surrounding them. The first of which is, why does Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda need Abba Elazar ben Gomel at all? If we have a hekesh between Truma and Maser, then just say that we can connect between Maser Behema and Truma Gedola. If we have that hekesh by Truma Gedola, we know it's Omed or Machshava. So then we'll make a connection, that hekesh, between Maser and Truma, and we'll be done. Why do you need that interim step of Truma Gedola to Trumat Maser? And then, from that, we say, okay, Trumat Maser, we'll connect to Maser at Dagan, and then Maser Dagan to Maser Behema. We could have skipped the step of Trumat Maser. So why is that necessary? So Tosafot explains, that's because Truma Gedola is very different than Trumat Maser. Truma Gedola has no shiur. And therefore, I would believe that it makes sense to have Omed and Makshava by Truma Gedola, because the nature of the Truma without a shiur makes sense that you can estimate it and you can do it through Makshava. Had I just tried to extend that from Truma Gedola to Maser Behema, I would have said it doesn't work, because Maser Behema has an affixed shiur. It's the 10. 1 out of the 10. So if that's the case, it wouldn't have made the hekesh between Maser Behema and Truma Gedola. The position of Abba Elazar ben Gomel teaches us that it does apply to that, because he says there's an equation between Trumat Gedola and Trumat Maser. Now, Trumat Maser does have a fixed shiur min haTorah. It's 10% of the 10%. So if that's the case, what we see from Abba Elazar ben Gomel is that that principle that we learned by Trumat Gedola of Omed and Makshava is not limited to items that don't have a shiur. Now we see that we apply it even to items with the shiur, like Trumat Maser. Once we know that information, then we can say, okay, we'll also extend the din of Trumat Gedola to Maser Behema. But had we skipped the step of Trumat Maser, we wouldn't have known the fact that you can apply the dinim of Trumat Gedola even to items that have a shiur, because it makes sense to divide and say that this is only true by Trumat Gedola with no shiur. Something with a shiur, it does not make sense to use it. Abba Elazar ben Gomel tells us that's not true, that it's equally applicable to Trumat Gedola as it is to Trumat Maser. Once I know that, I can then extend it to Maser Behema. So that's why we need Abba Elazar ben Gomel here to help out the position of Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda. That's the first thing Tosafot discusses. The other thing Tosafot discusses is, how do you do Trumat Maser through Omed? How do you do it by estimation? We have Mishnayot Braito that tell us that Amar be Masrutav, someone who gives too much Maser or Trumah, Mikalkalin, it messes you up, because then you're giving things that are tevel, that shouldn't be given, so on and so forth. That's a big problem. So Tosafot says that it obviously has to be a machloket between the position of Abba Elazar ben Gomel and the Chachamim. What exactly that machloket is, he's unsure of. He gives two possibilities of what the machloket is. Either Abba Elazar ben Gomel believes that lichatchila you should do it by measurement. Bidyeved, you can do it without measuring. You can do it through estimation. The Chachamim believe that in no way can you do it estimation. You must do it through measurement. That's one possibility of their machloket. The other possibility of their machloket is such that Abba Elazar ben Gomel says that you can do estimation even lechatchila, and maybe even be preferable, because you end up with more masrot, more trumot, to be more generous. So that's the preferable way to do it. The Chachamim say that lechatchila you should do it through measurement. But Bidyeved, they do agree, Abba Elazar ben Gomel, that you can do it through estimation. So it could be that the Chachamim agree on a Bidyeved level till Abba Elazar ben Gomel, and he thinks that's the right way to do it. Or even Abba Elazar ben Gomel believes that it's only Bidyeved you should do it. The Chachamim think you can't do it at all. So those are the two possibilities of the Machloket. The last thing that Tosfot also deals with is, are you allowed to intentionally increase? Meaning over here, it's just by estimation. You do have estimation, so by estimation, if you happen to add on some, we say it's fine. What happens if you intentionally add on? Does that work? So Tosfot over here wants to prove from a number of places that it works. Even if you intentionally increase the amount of Trumat Maser, not by estimation, but you intentionally give more, that would still work and it'd still be classified as Trumat Maser, that it's not just a din in estimation, that it's a din that you're allowed to increase, at least according to Abba Elazar ben Gomel, that you're allowed to increase the amount of Trumat Maser you give beyond the 10% that is required. Now, as far as the din of Nechshav, but the din of Machshava, Tosfot claims, is not learned out of Trumat Gedola. That has the word v'nechshav that is mentioned here in the Pasuk, and the Pasuk we said before is dealing with Chumat Maser. And therefore the word Nechshav is equally applicable to Chumat Gedola as it is to Chumat Maser. The thing that we do learn out from Chumat Gedola is that it's Be'omet, that it's done by estimation. And that's what we extend from Chumat Gedola over to Chumat Maser. And that the idea of Omed, now if that is the case, it would be that the Chachamim don't disagree with Abba Elazar ben Gomel when it comes to Machshava. They agree that by Chumat Maser and Chumat Gedola you can use Machshava, because that comes out of the word Venechshav. The only thing that they don't agree with him is about Omed, about the estimation. That estimation works by Chumat Gedola, does not work by Chumat Maser. That's where the pivotal point of their Machlokot will be, but they're not arguing on the issue of Machshava, because the union of Machshava is equally applicable to Chumat Maser as Chumat Gedola, and learn out of the Pasuk Venechshav, which is written by Chumat Maser. And therefore, even the Chachamim would agree that that's true both by Chumat Gedola and Chumat Maser. Although Tosfot does bring an alternative where it seems that the Chachamim also disagree about this point of Machshava, so you could have either one. He offers explanations that whether the Chachamim do agree by Machshava or disagree by Machshava, he gives both alternatives, although he does mention that Rashi in other places seems to indicate that the Chachamim would agree that Machshava would apply by Chumat Gedola as well as Chumat Maser. Okay, we'll stop over here.